Marshall, let's get into the Epic of Gilgamesh. Tell us a little bit about this recorded story.
Well, it's, as you said, it's on 12 cuneiform tablets, about 3,000 lines of poetry that tell this story. And to start with, the main character, King Gilgamesh, is quite different than most people would encounter in a story. He's
and he was a real person, right?
He's a real person, yeah. If you look at the Sumerian kings list, he ruled in Uruk for 126 years. As the king. That's recorded in the history of the Sumerian kings list. But he was, the reason he was unique is that his mother was an extraterrestrial queen, Nisan, and his father was a human. So we have kind of the reverse of what the Genesis story of the Nephilim was, that the sons of God came to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, the men of renown. Here we have a human impregnating a extraterrestrial Anunnaki princess and produce a king. Now, he's bigger in stature. He turns out to be
a giant?
Very powerful, strong, you know, he wrestles lions.
Jeez.
He's quite a character, but he's a problem to the villagers. And that's what
how do we know he's not a myth, Marshall?
Well, the only verification we have about him is that if he does appear in the Sumerian kings list, you got to give some credibility to that. But they gave us the list of all the kings that were
right
in charge, and there was the name Gilgamesh appears.
Okay, and just so everyone knows, the cuneiform was the earliest forms of expression of written expression
in the
form of pictures, right?
Well, there were little wedges in clay. In other words, you took a piece of clay and you took a wedge stylus and you pounded it in at various forms, and you formed the first written language that was invented on the planet Earth and is credited to the Sumerians. It was called cuneiform writing, and it was used for 3,000 years as the official language of all the civilizations that came after the Sumerians. So it lasted for quite a while until, you know, the regular alphabet came into place. But once you realize that the story of King Gilgamesh is not just it wasn't just a mythical tale, George. It was their version of the history, early history of their interface with humans. I mean, I'm talking about they being the extraterrestrial group who called themselves the Anunnaki.
Okay. All right, so let's go on with the story then.
Okay.
This individual.
So this king is rattling around, and one of the things he does, which really kind of ticks people off, is he takes the new brides from the village, from the city, and he rapes them before their husband gets a chance.
Sounds like Saddam Hussein's sons.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, this went on in history, a lot of civilizations allowed this to happen. But in Gilgamesh's story, this epic of Gilgamesh, he's doing this and the people get upset. And how we know that there's interface between the extraterrestrials and the people is that they plead with their leaders to do something about their king. And guess what? The solution they come up with is a clone, an adult duplicate of the king called Enkidu.
They make another one?
Make another one, yeah. They take the species of the creatures that are around there called Homo erectus, and they convert an adult Homo erectus, a very strong guy, and give him the strength of the king. In fact, they take the DNA of the king and they use it to duplicate his face.
Well, now, let's assume, though, that the cloned version is not a whacked-out one like the original king, right?
No, he's not. And he's given instructions to how to deal with the king. And when he goes into town, he challenges the king to his throne. They wrestle. And then when it's kind of a dead heat, they look in each other's eyes. They see each other because they're twins.
Yeah.
And we have cylinder seals, George, that show pictures of two identical twins, one with a crown and one with a lot of hair. So that the tale of Enkidu and King Gilgamesh was immortalized on the cylinder seals as well as on the clay tablets. Anyway, the story goes that once they become friends, they go off adventuring. And that's great as far as the people in the city said, got rid of the king. Go out of town, babe.
Off he goes.
Yeah. He's gonzo. So, but now, in the adventuring of Enkidu and King Gilgamesh, they encounter the landing platform that the extraterrestrials are using to go back and forth. And so we have here a window in this story of new technology. Gilgamesh hears the roar and sees these rocket ships taking off from the landing platform. It's kind of a forbidden place, but he encounters it twice in the story. And I think the reason that we are told this is that they are introducing us to the way that they transported themselves back to their home planet and so forth.
Where were these landing pads?
Okay, now, you said you want proof?
Yeah.
In Baalbek, Lebanon, there is this platform.
All right.
It's a 5-million-square-foot platform with three of the largest stones ever quarried on the planet Earth in the northwest corner. And they've been elevated into place 36 feet up in the air, and they weigh 1,200 tons apiece. I mean, you know, come on.
Just a few guys moved it, right?
Who did this? Who built that place? So if the story kind of tracks with the tablets and the fact that you can go to Baalbek, Lebanon, and you see the dumb thing.
So we think they were landing on top of this.
Yeah. The reason for these huge stones was that if you go down to Cape Canaveral, when you push against the earth, you have a lot of concrete down there that they push against. So that their launching vehicles were pushing against these humongous stones. And the substructure underneath them was also quite magnificent. Not as, you know, fascinating as the stones themselves, but I've studied the structure and I'm an engineer. And I want to tell you that that provides a place to launch and land.